I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, the creator of the HBO series 6 Feet Under turns from death to another disturbing subject in his new film, Towelhead. We'll talk to him in just a minute. But first, to Zimbabwe. After months of politically motivated violence and months of negotiations, longtime President Robert Mugabe and opposition leader Morgan Tsvangirai have struck a power-sharing deal. South African President Thabo Mbeki mediated the agreement, which we understand will allow Mugabe to keep his seat as president and make Tsvangirai prime minister. Zimbabwe has been in turmoil since a disputed election in March, which opposition leaders say they won outright. But the government forced a runoff in June. Violence against opposition supporters reached such a level that Tsvangirai dropped out of the race, saying that government-sponsored attacks on his supporters made it impossible for him to continue. Mugabe was declared the winner. Today, the two sides released the details of an agreement hammered out over the course of the week. Joining us to talk about it is Jeffrey Barbie. He's a freelance reporter who's been covering the situation in Zimbabwe, and he joins us on the line from South Africa. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you very much, Michelle.
Now, we understand that the agreement has been signed as we speak, that President Mugabe will retain his seat, Morgan Tsvangirai will become prime minister. Are there any other key elements that you can tell us about?
It's understood that there will be essentially 31 seats, and those seats within the cabinet will be shared by the majority of Tsvangirai's MDC, together with the Mutambara faction of the MDC as well.
Arthur Mutambara being who?
Mutambara created a split MDC faction, and they control about 10 seats within the Zimbabwean parliament. This makes them a crucial swing vote within the parliament, and that's why they were also featured within these three-party talks. So we had Tsvangirai's MDC, we had Mugabe's ZANU-PF, and we had Mutambara's MDC faction as well, all party to the talks.
One of the critical questions, it seems to me, is who will run the security apparatus of the country, which played such a crucial role in the post-election violence? Of course, although Mugabe's people dispute this, it is widely believed by international observers and members of the opposition that the security forces were used to harass and attack opposition supporters. So who now will be in charge of these entities?
Well, Michelle, I really think that this is the crucial question. There's talk right now that Morgan Tsvangirai's MDC will control home affairs. Now, this cabinet of home affairs includes the police. So he would have control of the police, while Robert Mugabe's ZANU-PF would retain control of the military. That is not to say that that is the only avenue of control within the Zimbabwean government for the police and the security apparatus. There is another group that controls them outside of the cabinet called the Joint Operations Command. And the Joint Operations Command, as of yesterday, was supposed to fall underneath Morgan Tsvangirai's control.
Do you have any sense of how this agreement is being received in Zimbabwe?
I have a very good group of people on the ground I've been in touch with, and throughout Harare and in the eastern city of Mutare, there is very little celebration. Nobody dares express an opinion for the MDC. There were no celebrations happening last night in Harare by the MDC. Disturbingly, I got three different reports of celebrations happening in ZANU-PF strongholds.
What do you think that means?
Well, I think for a lot of people within ZANU-PF, they might look at this as a potential victory because they have not handed over absolute power to Morgan Tsvangirai.
Well, then, what benefit is this to the opposition? Is this the best they could get? And do you think they'll have any real governing authority?
I can say that we really are looking for the concrete details of this plan to be released later today, to sit back and be able to look at them and say what we think and what is possible to happen in the coming 3 months in Zimbabwe.
And Jeffrey, we understand that this is a developing situation and you're in the thick of reporting it. But we've just received word from the wire services that police have fired warning shots at a crowd of thousands that has been trying to break into the convention center where the political parties have been working on signing the power-sharing deal. They say that supporters of both sides threw stones at each other, and several hundred people broke through the gates into the grounds of the convention center where these leaders are witnessing the signing ceremony. What do you think is going on there? What is your sense of this?
One is that often I would find that I would read a Wire report that said that something had happened when, in fact, the numbers were far less than what I had actually gone there and taken pictures of in the midst of it myself. With that in mind, let's remember that the Zimbabwean people have a lot of rage. Most of the MDC supporters, which Harare is full of, have had no opportunity to express any sort of anger or public outrage over the way that they've been treated for the last 7 years. I could understand if there was widespread looting problems in Harare. And conversely, I could also understand that nothing might happen. The people are very much a wait-and-see position. They've gotten excited before about having freedom and a return to the rule of democracy and law and order. And they've been disappointed so many times that most of the people I've spoken to are wait and see what happens in the coming months.
Jeffrey Barbie is a freelance reporter who has been closely following the situation in Zimbabwe. He joined us on the line from Johannesburg. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much, Michelle.